Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Friday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, grateful to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has given us the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. Doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over there, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, @gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. So we thank God for this blessed day. This is Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens on this Friday. We thank God for all you listening, and as we await for my brother to come in and join us, wherever you listen to us at, come in and let's pray. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for another blessed day that you've given us, another time that you have blessed us to come together. Lord God, I pray that you will bless this broadcast to deliver your message, your word to the people. Let them sense the power of your spirit, the anointing of the Holy Ghost in this broadcast in Jesus' name. So, Lord God, we just thank you for this day you've made and created, and we give you all the glory and honor and praise and magnify you because you're worthy to be praised in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. We thank God once again. This is Friday. Those y'all that listen to us know it's Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, and we're so grateful for the opportunity to deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ unto you all. Amen. I want to encourage you all. Amen. You know, when you're walking in the love of God, one of the things come out of the love of God is respect. Respect. And I know a few years ago, that's one of the things that the Lord has showed me that has been a thing in wrecking households, relationships, you name it, is the lack of respect. So, hey, we can agree to disagree at times, but let's be respectful to one another. Amen. Glory be to God. So, having said that, let me pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Shalom, shalom. Jesus Christ is Lord. And so we are privileged today. We are blessed, and we are given grace to be speaking and sharing and testifying on this wonderful day the Lord has given us, the gift that we're able to testify, and we're to have a gathering and meeting thousands of miles away, sharing, communicating, fellowship with one another on this airwave, and we are blessed to be takers of this new invention that we can share the gospel to people around the world, and we can fellowship one another thousands, thousands of miles away. So I'm grateful, and we're blessed, and this is the day the Lord God has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. So may the Holy Spirit breathe on us in the name of Jesus. We exalt the risen Christ and Messiah, soon coming King, the one that was lifted on the cross, or who died upon the stake, who bear our iniquity, sin, sickness, disease, and redeemed us from the curse and rose on the third day, now at the right-handed Father interceding in our behalf. So we glory in him, and we pray the inspiration of the Holy Spirit will touch some life, some soul, some nation, some person. Open their eyes in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, dear brother, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, you'll let me know. This phone, you know, back to his regular thing, sometime acting up. Okay. All right. Technology, it can be a problem. It can be a blessing at times. So you've been enjoying the temperature change and everything.
Oh, yeah, brother. We've had some off and on rain. Temperature have slightly dipped, and I do mean the word slightly, still in the mid-90s. Still there, brother.
Well, it's good. Today, we're still talking and sharing and having a conversation and releasing some truth and some light that God has given us. And we're not saying we have perfect understanding of all things, but I want to say to everyone, this is Talk Rock Radio, and we are broadcasting hopefully around the world in many nations. And this is Handmaid's Night, particularly honoring the women of God and women in particular and wives around the earth. And we're grateful for that, the women's contribution and mothers and grandmothers and whatsoever they may, the great contribution they are making to the planet Earth and raising the families and doing much more. So thank God. And we ask for the blood of Jesus to cover every listener. We ask for the redemption power of the cloud of God's glory and his blood cover every person that are listening and every place in every nation they might receive an answer to their need. In Jesus' name, we speak and declare it. Okay. You've been enjoying the rain, the sunshine. We've been having pretty good today. We only got up in the late 80s. No, not 80s, 70s. The wind was kind of nice, close to the lake, lake shore. And we've just been enjoying the weather up and down. Whatever the Lord gives. We've been blessed. I don't know about Seattle and Oregon and all those areas northwest. They've been getting it. Washington, certain parts of them, they've been really getting it.
Yeah. Yes, they have. I've been hearing of record temperatures of heat being there. So we just got to get ready, brother. We got to get ready. We got to get ready. We got to get prepared.
Yeah. I know we say that to many people. We've spoken some things to people over this broadcast, and we've spoken to people before we can a broadcast about things that's going to occur. But I don't think that, like, you know, it's sort of like Jesus said in Matthew 24 and Revelation, I think, 22, he that has ear, let him hear. People are hearing mostly what they want to do and what they want to necessarily believe. But hearing what thus saith the Lord and thirsting after the things that are eternal and heavenly, and hearing the voice of God in these last days, and hearing the word of God in the gospel, and prophetic things that are happening, I don't think a lot of people are necessarily listening. I think some people are beginning to listen, but the greater part of are into their own mind and own plans and their own goals, you know.
You know what, brother? You know, it's interesting you said that. Because I was looking at Malachi 3:1 today, and one of the things that stood out in that verse to me tells me who's going to hear about this work of the Lord in these last days in the sending of Elijah. It's to those that who seeks him. Because he said in the scripture, and the Lord whom ye seek. Well, see, everybody that's claiming to be a Christian ain't seeking. So,
yeah,
so
not
we're going to find out.
Not really.
No, they're not. But we're going to find out because those are the ones that's going to receive concerning this work of the Lord in the last days.
I guess you're right. I'm pretty sure you're right. The unveiling of the God's end time plan and truth before their eyes and the nations, and especially the midnight cry, Matthew 20, the angel Elijah, who comes to bring a cry, a voice of warning in Isaiah 42. Yes, this voice will not be in the streets. He will come from the heavens above, and he'll give people to clear it in the streets. But Isaiah said this elect one will not be crying in the street this time. John the Baptist was crying in the wilderness and in the streets and the byways in Jerusalem. But when John the Baptist comes the second time, he'll not be crying in the streets. He'll be bringing a message from heaven, Revelation 14:6 and Malachi 3:1, for us to cry in the streets about the coming of God, coming of Jesus, preparing of a people, gathering Israel to warning the world, to awaken the world, and prepare a bride for Christ, that accordingly, a lot of parts of the earth will not come until there's great desolation. Then they will be humbled to hear the last warning, like unto Noah.
Amen. Amen. I agree with you wholeheartedly, brother. Like I said, you know, we're gonna see the ones that actually receive the word. You know, I know that they got to hear it first, because the word, the Bible said, how can they hear except there's a preacher? So they got to hear the word first. But those who really seek him, that's going to be the difference right there, brother.
Yeah, of course. It's all about the desire of our heart. The desire of your heart will move you to whatsoever your desire of your heart and your will is. So those that desire answers are looking for the answer of the living God, know the end times revelation of God's will and plan for deliverance, which is called the gospel, which is the most important message in the Bible, called the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in it, the gospel is a prophetic word, an end time, a warning of preparing a people to be Christ at his coming and the judgment that's coming upon the earth. I know last week I was just praying. I reminded again as I got down, he said, a couple of weeks ago, he said, desolation is coming to these cities. Desolation is coming. Now, I've been getting this awful for the last, I don't know, 10, 12 years. But the other week, he said, these cities in America is getting ready to be desolated, for they have to be humble before they will seek my face. So we're going to see the crashing and humbling of American cities getting ready to be hit. And he said, desolation. Hallelujah. And desolation is coming to the American cities. But at the same time, there's a group of people here and there who are seeking his face, seeking the Holy Ghost and revival. And the Lord's going to begin to move in a mighty, mighty, miraculous Holy Ghost way among specks of people here and there, a move of the Holy Ghost, not greatly in America, but certain specks and remnants in America are really seeking his face. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I want to be among those that are seeking his face, seeking his hand, and seeking his will, and humbling before him, that I may be found standing in the holy place when the indignation come on the earth. So we're going to see desolation from that. This year, you're going to see like number four, the word hallelujah. Desolation began to hit these cities, and you can begin it. Hallelujah. That's, you know, you saw it. We pray for the people in Miami and the people, their relatives, loved ones, and all around. Those disasters are coming. Sorry to say, regret. But they're going to humble. They're going to humble America. They're going to humble the nations and America, especially because America has received the greater light and the greater responsibility and the greatest call to take the message of the gospel and be an example to the Gentiles and to the Jew. So America has this call and commission to be the standout nation, a favorable nation, desire, and she's, you know, falling and crumbling and you know, going backwards. So that has to come, right? A revival, a spiritual awakening, a mighty move of the Holy Ghost. So we better be seeking his face. Hallelujah, seeking his mind and his will and what he's doing at this hour to preserve and deliver and prepare people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wake up call. And we're going to see, I'm sorry, the greater of a lot of people in the cities go down, going to see these cities shake up. And we better seek him now, Jesus. We better seek his face. And then in the parts of the world, around the world, certain spots going to be really shaken. But many people overseas in 4-H Noweed going to have visitation from the Lord. They're going to see angels and dreams, and Jesus is going to visit them in many nations. Hallelujah. And we're going to see angels, Jesus himself, visiting many of the Muslim nations and communist nations, and people in them are crying out, hallelujah. And he's going to show himself. He's going to reveal himself. But not so to America. America has yet got to be humble.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Chester, brother.
Humble your people. Humble before your faith. They will seek up. They will look up in their sorrow and grief, in their agony, turn their eyes again upon the Lamb of God and behold the Lamb of God again and exalt him. Thank you, Jesus. And we're praying that there will be a Azusa Street revival like in 1906 in L.A., California, 1906, where America needs another Azusa Street revival and a spiritual awakening and shaking. So let's, hallelujah, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the rock of my salvation, my deliverance. You know, these things are coming, and we got to be hid in the rock. We're going to have to be hid
Amen.
In the rock. Christ is betrayed and seen as the rock of our eternal salvation. Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashua, the sunlight of righteousness, in Malachi 4, just before the sunlight of righteousness, he's called this word, this truth, in this generation, the sunlight of righteousness revealed himself to those that have an ear to hear. Wake up call. Turn your eyes upon the Lamb of God. Cry out to him mightily to break the hearts, humble the hearts, crush the hearts, till the people will cry out, Yilalo Shaka. We love you, Lord Jesus. Let the love of God return. And, you know, the love of God is not too much, even among Christians, not like it ought to be. The love of God is they're more into gifts and gifts into all kind of other kind of things, but the love of God, the Hamo Shanta, the real pure love of God, it doesn't seem to be riding strong in certain Christians as it ought to be like it used to be years ago. We got to draw near to the Lord, to the pure Holy Ghost love of God. Got to speak to the nations. When they see Christians, they'll see the Holy Ghost love coming out of them, out of their lips. They'll be drawn to it. Even the sanctified Pentecostal church, you know, they seem to have lost their consecration in many places. Like many great, great evangelist churches, like the Assembly of God, the Church of God in Christ, Church of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These are great works of God. You raised up in the earth. And they going to have to get back to that consecration where people will see the power and the love of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. All right, then. Hallelujah. It's all right to exalt the Lord in the Holy Ghost. It's all right. It's a time to be quiet and a time to lift up your hands. A time to be silent and a time to cry out. Hallelujah. All right, brother. Hallelujah. Okay. To all the women out there, I get a strong unction that there is coming rain. Brother Nate?
Yes.
Rain. It's a, using this as a symbolic mean of holy rain, a holy revival and a holy awakening, that he's going to rain Holy Ghost revival on Russia. That he began to do a strange thing in the Russian people and Ukraine and all those areas, and those Soviet bloc used to be. He's going to, hallelujah, even to Germany. Even to Germany, hallelujah, a strange. And even to Japan, he's going to unveil himself. Christ is going to move and unveil himself, even to the Syrian people. Thank you, Jesus. Now, wake up. In order for people and nations that go to sleep, they have to be wake up. Is that right?
That's right.
So when you're sleeping and you're slumbering, there had to be something to wake you up or get you up or pull you up or throw you up or whatever up you need to be, right? Alert and aware, right?
That's right. Amen.
You know what my mother, when I was a little child in Mississippi, they would tell you to get up, it's time to go. And they will sometime, now and then they'll say the second time, but don't let me have to wake you up with this strop. I have come in there with that strop to wake you up.
Amen.
And when you heard that name strop that I called, you got up.
Amen.
Don't these modern-day psychologists, psychiatrists, don't let them hear that. They say child abuse. But in those days, they didn't really abuse their child. But now there's a lot of young mothers don't need children having before time. They are abusing some of their children. Really, they are abusing their children. Hallelujah. Many of them are abusing, aggressively abusing their children physically and emotionally. But anyway, let's not get out on that stuff. That'll take another 2 hours. But there's a lot of good mothers who are trying to do their best, single mothers who are struggling, and we pray for them. The Lord will give them grace. Now, I want to like to clear up a question. Since we've been talking about the four important pillars, the most important unveiling of God to these feast days, to the revelation of truth, which is built, which we are to build upon, which is called the gospel of Christ. Atonement, the atonement of Christ. Redemption, redemption of the Lamb of God. And reconciliation, hallelujah, how we're reconciled to God, and the resurrection. These are the four iron pillars of truth. And the scripture from the beginning of Genesis all the way to Revelation is unveiling plan and pillar of truth, which is called the atonement. There's no more important message than the atonement of Christ. I don't care what you talk on. I don't care what subject you talk on in the Bible. There is no presently more important message, truth. And I put this in. There's no, you're going to find out as we move along, that there is a revelation, an unveiling of real divine truth that must be settled in our hearts and in our lives. That we be not deceived. And that is about the most important unveiling of Jesus being born, conceived by Mary, by the Holy Spirit. Virgin birth, sinless. The second is the unveiling of Jesus as the Lamb of God. And it's the atonement. These are the most important revelation of truth that the Bible speaks of. There is no greater truth. Don't care what people say, without the atonement and redemption, you might as well put the Bible down because you ain't got no hope without that. Nothing, no other truth, every truth in the Bible, every prophet in the Bible, every true prophet from the fall of Adam points to the Redeemer coming, the Redeemer. Without the Redeemer, the fallen humanity, the fallen mankind through Adam, the son's sin and death, would perish forever. So the atonement and redemption, everything the prophet said in the Bible from beginning in, is talking about the most important event, pointing to an important event, symbolizing the most important event. He's coming, the Redeemer, our Redeemer, the Messiah. He's called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So we're going to clear up something that's been kind of a little controversial. I said, before I go on with the other four pillars, we're going to talk about a little bit about the resurrection. I'm going to delve a little bit, and I'll go further into this plan about the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Later on, I'll expand it, but I'm going to talk about a little bit about the atonement as being the founding plate and the pillars, the four R's, recovery, redemption, reconciliation, and resurrection power. Hallelujah. But I want you to know, first of all, add to this, that as we go along, you need to know the importance why the devil is going to try to make people believe that Jesus Christ was not the Redeemer, not the Deliverer, and they're going to try to teach that Jesus was not virgin born, that he was not conceived by the Holy Ghost, that Mary had another man and they just had sex and now he came. That he's not the sinless Lamb of God, the sinless Lamb of God. Now, you have to, you'll see in a little while why this unveiling of this truth is important, how Jesus was born. Hallelujah. Now, today I'm going to touch on the resurrection. The resurrection from the dead. Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Redeemer, the Lion of Judea, the Emmanuel, the Lily of the Valley, the Rock of our Salvation, the High Priest of our Profession, the Creator, the Maker, the Deliverer, Yeshua. We're going to talk about how he is the only one since the fall of man on the planet Earth, the only one that came and conquered death. Now, I'm going to read a few scriptures. There is no other teaching among any religion, no small little demon god, little deity, paganism going back 6,000 years, none of them conquered death and the grave. Not, I don't care how many gods, Hindu god, the Roman, the Syrians, Islam, whatever, none of their gods, so-called gods, conquered death. Death was able to raise from the dead after three days, Jesus in the grave came alive. Now, if you read, and we've studied today, we're not trying to offend anybody. We're trying to open your eyes and unveil yourself to the plan of the Most High, the Creator of the Israelites, who came to redeem us, to deliver all nations, to save all nations, to bring all nations unto himself by Jesus Christ, Yeshua. No one, nowhere in the history of the planet Earth since existence has one came and conquered death but the Lord Jesus Christ, who came in the likeness of sin for flesh, to condemn sin in the flesh, who was the Emmanuel. Now, here's the life and the resurrection. You know where in the 11th chapter of John Gospel, when Lazarus had been dead for 4 days in the grave, in the tomb, and Jesus is called to Mary and Martha because Lazarus was his friend, and he often consorted and visited them. He had his separation, his quiet time, his retreat time away from the disciples, away from men. He would go to the family of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. They were his friends at Bethany. He would consort there. He would lead the disciples to go back to their family, wherever they're going to do, and he would take a little time, a leave of absence, you might call it. Not really absent, but a resort to rest with his friends. He raised Lazarus from the dead to authenticate, to certify, to affirm, and to confirm that he was the one that the whole world, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, from Adam, who was looking for this one, and that he was on the scene, and he certified it, authenticated it, by conquering death and the grave, power of the grave. Okay. Now, all the other teachings of all gods in the earth from this 6,000 years, tell me, Hindu god, Buddhist, Confucius, or whatever gods in the earth, the Syrian, the Roman gods, Egyptian gods, who out of all their gods conquered death and the grave? Not one. Not Muhammad. They can talk about Muhammad. Hallelujah. And and God loves those people in Muslim and Brahman and Confucius. Jesus loves them and cares about them. He died for them to recover them, and he cares about them. But Jesus wanted to authenticate that he was the Messiah. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. Now, I want to go to say something. This is important in the latter day. You're going to find out as we go along in 23, 24, why is what I'm saying is so important. Because the devil is going to have so much deceiving power to deceive all flesh about this, what we're talking about. So if you call yourself a Bible-believing Christian, get settled, get established, know your God, know your Redeemer, know your truth, Know what the prophets and the apostles taught. Know what Jesus taught, and have it written in your heart and settled in your life and established, rooted and grounded. When I tell you that the gospel of Christ is going to be of Jesus, the pure gospel, the everlasting God, is the center of your deliverance. You have to look at the Bible and see the purpose of God to redeem and recover man after the fall of Adam. All were lost, cut off from the presence of God. I want to show you something here that a little controversy have existed even among Christians, because, you know, Christians, they don't see eye to eye on certain scriptures. I mean, I understand that. A lot of them, you know, depends on their own ability, own intelligence, and not the revelation of the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But I want to settle something, if possibly. Now, I'm not saying that I don't make mistakes and I don't have perfect understanding about everything. I'm not going to say such thing. I don't have perfect understanding about everything. Of course not. It's possible for me to err because I'm human. It's possible. And I'm not going to say to you things that I don't know, I don't know. But the things that I'm sure about and in the Word of God and be authenticated by three witnesses in the Scriptures is worthy of looking at. Because I'm going to establish it, what my truth has to be established by three witnesses, the Old Testament and New Testament, and the Spirit and the prophets and the apostles. So Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach, there is a question about the resurrection that need to be resolved. And what we're going to share a few minutes about, if anyone's online, you're welcome to call, sending, what do you call it, Instagram or text or anything about this question. Or you may call in and with a reasonable question, a reasonable desire to know the truth and not, you know, any other thing. Because a lot of people out there, they'll call in and try to do a lot of foolish things, and this is serious business about the gospel. This is no plaything. I would advise anybody to call in and try to make fun. I will tell you, please don't do that for your own sake, for your own safety. Now, the first resurrection. Have you heard that expression in Revelation? You got Revelation 20 and 5, brother. Would you turn to Revelation chapter 20, 5 and 6? I appreciate it, brother, your help. Tremendous help here. And Revelation chapter 20, 5 and 6. The first resurrection. Hallelujah. Behold, Jesus is coming and he's going to pour out his Holy Spirit. Brother, we're about to see the greatest miracles of God. We're about to see the unleashing of the greatest supernatural miracles of living God. Satan was trying to imitate, has been trying to imitate, but he, just like in Moses, when he went to Pharaoh, he tried to imitate, but Moses swallowed him up. Moses' power swallowed up all of Pharaoh's power. But this is the way the power and the signs and wonders and miracles of the living God is going to swallow up all the deceiving signs of Satan. Swallow up them, just vacate them. And Revelation chapter 20, verse 5 and 6, the first resurrection. Because there's a little cloudy, need a lack of clarity about the first resurrection, how Jesus conquered death and the grave and Satan and took the keys of death away from Satan. Satan had the power of death because Adam had sinned. Now, Revelation 20, verse 5 and 6, would you read that?
Revelation chapter 20, verse 5 and 6 said, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection. On such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Fast forward, I went to Revelation to the end book first to talk about first resurrection that took place. And it's very important to understand what took place on the first resurrection when Christ arose from the dead. Now, I want to read something here from the scriptures by a prophet of God. And it's 8:253, the book of Joseph. The tribe of Joseph received the revelation from God. One tribe of Israel, Joseph received this working scripture and revelation from Jesus Christ when he appeared unto them, which we'll talk about another time. Now, page 253, verse 19, about the redemption of Christ. Verse 19, for it was not for the redemption that Jesus Christ had made for his people, which were prepared from the foundation of the world. I say unto you, it were not for this that all mankind would perish. When Adam sinned, brought judgment, sin, death, unto separation for all humans who would be born after Adam, they would have been cut off from the presence of God forever. But because of the redemption which he made for his people, this plan had been made in heaven before the foundation of the world. This plan of God to redeem man, because he knew he would fall, and he had made a plan of redemption before the world was. In Revelation 5. Now, the next verse said, behold, the band of death shall be broken, and the sun reigneth, and has power over the dead. Therefore, he brings to pass the resurrection of the dead. Verse 21, there cometh a resurrection, even a first resurrection. We're going to talk about there cometh a resurrection at the coming of Christ when he rose, even called a first resurrection, yea, even a resurrection of those that have been and which are, which shall be, even until the resurrection of Christ, for shall he be called. For now the resurrection of all the prophets, what happened at the first resurrection of Christ? What took place at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, which is called the first resurrection, the first fruits of the resurrection? And now the resurrection of all the prophets, what took place, resurrection of all the prophets and all those that have believed in their words or heed their commands, and of all those that have kept the commandments of God who knew them, that shall come forth, that shall come forth in the first resurrection, that they shall come forth in the first resurrection, therefore they are the first resurrection. They are raised to dwell with God and has redeemed them, and they have eternal life through Christ, who have broken the bands of death. These are those who have part in the first resurrection, and those that have died before Christ came in their ignorance, not having salvation declared unto themselves. Thus the Lord bringeth about the restoration of these, and they have part in the first resurrection, or have eternal life being redeemed in the Lord. And little children have eternal life. Now, I just read this, page 253, the book of Joseph, to tell you what took place on the first resurrection, about who rose from the dead when Christ conquered death and the grave, break the bands of death, hell, and the grave. As we talk about the first resurrection, who had part in it, and Revelation tells us, fast forward, that blessed are they that had part in the first resurrection. They won't die anymore. They won't taste the death. Blessed are they. Let's go to Matthew's chapter 27 and 50, where Matthew, the apostle Matthew, spoke about something that took place when Christ Jesus rose from the dead on the third day after being crucified and put to death. Something marvelous took place. Matthew 27 and 50. Who and what took place? Okay? All right.
Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. It said, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many.
Now, most people miss this other part about Jesus Christ did not get up by himself. they consecrate alone, they leave out something important. He broke the power of death and conquered death and loosed the captive. Those that had been captive and waiting on him to conquer death so they could get up and the grave, when Jesus Christ, the conqueror of death, who is called the life and the resurrection, Matthew 11, when he conquered death, he loosed them. All that the prophets believed in the prophets, all the prophets who had died, all the prophets who believed, who people heard their words and believed them, they arose. They arose from the dead. Is that what it indicates, brother?
Amen. That is.
Now, they arose. They are risen. They will die no more. They'll not taste of any death, spiritual or physical death. They are risen with Christ. Christ Jesus conquered death and the grave. He proved it when he loosed and set them free. Ephesians chapter 4. He went down into the heart of the earth. That's where all the righteous were, in a place called Abraham's bosom. They were waiting for the Christ. Job says, and what Job, what is it? Job, I just jotted this stuff down in the last few minutes. A lot of the stuff, I just jotted in the last few minutes before I come on the air, because I don't know what I'm going to talk on, really. And so Job, the oldest said book in the Bible of our recording, Job prophesied and had a vision about Christ coming and him dying. What is it? Job 22 or 14, 19, in, I think Job 19, where he says, I know my Redeemer liveth. Now, he saw Jesus coming over 2,200, over 2,500 years before, 22, he knew that Jesus Christ was coming and that he was going to loose the death. And even though Job said, I die and my body is consumed by worms, yet I shall see him. When the Lord Jesus came into the heart of earth, he loosed Job and Job got up. Job is shouting. He's not in the grave anymore. I'm with you, Job. Hey, glory to you. Jesus conquered death. And Abraham got up. Isaac, Jacob, and all those that believed on the God of Abraham and Isaac, they looked to the commandments and they heard the words and they obeyed and they accounted righteous. Now, notice something very important. In 1 Thessalonians, at the coming of Jesus Christ, this second time back to the earth, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when Jesus returned and the dead, the trump should sound, the angel gonna blow the trump, and notice what's going to happen at his coming. When Jesus come back again, he's coming not alone. Well, we'll get to that. When he come back, he'll come with all his, most of his holy angels and all the redeemed. Matthew says he'll come with all his angels and the redeemed, they're going to come with him. And we're going to find out why is all of these redeemed coming with him. Why are the angels coming with him? Well, that's the several reasons why, when Jesus returned, why they are coming. And we'll get on that to why all of these heavenly hosts are coming with Jesus when he returned this second time. The trump shall sound. Now, it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, right?
Right.
About the second coming of Christ.
1 Thessalonians
verse
chapter
10,
4.
11, whatever.
Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Now, three things are important at the second coming of Christ. Three important things are revealed in that. You want to talk on one or two of them, brother? In that, now, we already know that Jesus, at his resurrection, the dead saints were raised to the dead. All the prophets and all those that believed on the prophets, they were raised. And they were raised bodily. Okay. But at the second coming of Christ, something else is going to happen. You want to talk about that or say anything about that, brother?
Yeah, in the second coming of Christ, he mentions, and he was specific in this one too, that the dead in Christ is going to rise first. Then we, which are alive, will remain. I think personally, brother, that, and I love my brothers and sisters in Christ who preach the pre-trib rapture, but I believe that the timing is one of the crucial things that we have gotten off of.
Yes.
Because we have put it that Christ is coming to get us, you know, at any day. But he has put an order right here. And we know that whatever pattern Christ set up, he follows.
Here, three things are important to note. When he comes, he's coming not alone. When he comes, the trump sound, those that have died in Christ, very important to understand what he said, those that are dead in Christ shall arise first. Now, those that are not in Christ and died, they're not getting up. They're not rising.
Mm-hmm.
It is from it.
That's right.
Only those that went to sleep in Christ. Now, the word sleep here is misunderstood because it has two sides to it. When you leave this life and leave this life, this world, you call going sleep or you die. What you actually did is move to another residence. You made a transition. So you're no longer you're dead to this world. But you're not dead. You're dead to this life and this world. You cannot occupy as a human being because you left this world. You made a transition. When you transition, you're not actually sleep. You're sleep to this world because you're dead. But when you leave this world, you are much alive. You're very much alive. And you're not what we call, quote, sleeping. When two things, when the dead in Christ who are already dead, they're in paradise. We're going to prove that when they leave this world, they're in paradise.
Amen.
And they're in paradise, and they're not what we call sleep. Those sleep are those that left this world because the dead, the righteous don't die, the wicked die. They just made a transition with the Lord. Paul says, to me to live is for your good, but me to depart to be with the Lord is my gain, to depart to be with the Lord. Where? He wanted to go to paradise and leave this world. That's why the righteous go. Now, when the Christ come, you know the righteous are caught up to meet him in the clouds, in the heavens. Because why? They knew they get a new body, and that body loses gravity. Only human beings have gravity on the earth because they have flesh and blood. So that holds them to the earth. When they get their new body and the trump sound, they immediately go up. They lose gravity, their new body. Earth can't hold them. They go up to meet the Lord in the clouds. They meet the other saints that are coming with him. Okay? Now, let's understand about the resurrection. What do these people look like when you're raised with a new body like Christ? Let's go to Matthew 22. These resurrected beings will have the body like Jesus Christ raised to glory as the angels. Matthew 22, verse 29 and 30.
Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do error, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven.
Now, listen, they were asking Jesus about a question about a man being married 5 times. When he get to heaven, who wife is going to be? And Jesus said, you don't understand. You don't understand. When you leave this world, you go to paradise. When you are resurrected, you have a new body, and you won't be, you know, having no children or having sex or anything like that. That's done away with. And but in the resurrection, you just like the angels. Now, the angels who are angels from the beginning, these resurrected persons are just like Jesus. Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, he could go and come. He'd appear in the walls. He'd be in there. And we'll be as him in the resurrection. We have the same body. And the resurrected people are as the angel. That's when all the prophets who raised from the dead has a resurrected body and glorified body, and they are as the angels. Now, let's go. Let's go to Luke 23 and 43. Luke 23 and 43. Luke chapter 23, verse 42.
Luke 23, verse
42 and 43.
And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Now, see, when Jesus left the body on the cross, he said, into thy hand, Father, I commend my spirit. Now, notice what he said. Into thy hand I command my spirit. Jesus left the body, but you are a spirit being. The body is not you. It's only the house that you live on the earth, earthly vessel. You leave that house, you are still a whole person, spirit and soul. Jesus said to the Father, into your hand I command my spirit. So he went to paradise immediately, and he said to the thief, who had a broken heart and a contrite spirit, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, paradise is not quite heaven, but it's in heaven. Paradise is in the midst of heaven, where the righteous dead go, and probably all the prophets went to, in the midst of heaven, in the New Jerusalem. But let's see. What happened when we are raised as a resurrected person? Luke 24:37. Remember Matthew 24:37. When Matthew, Jesus wrote, many bodies of the saints went. Remember what Jesus said? Many bodies came out of the grave. Not just spirits. Many bodies came out. They saw them in many bodies. Luke 24:37.
But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit.
When Jesus raised from the dead and was resurrected, he appeared to the disciples, and this was a new experience for them, and he appeared to them, and they thought it was a spirit, you know, because they did believe in spirits in those days, you know. They didn't quite get a kind of understanding of the resurrection, but they were aware the spirit world had been taught somewhat. And when Jesus appeared to them after the resurrection, they were terrified. Woo, 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 a ghost, a spirit, or whatever. Woo, it was really getting. Then verse 38 says what?
And he said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see me. For a spirit have not flesh and bones, as ye see me have.
Now, let's clear up something very important. When you are raised from the dead, you are a real person. You have a real body. They touched Jesus. He said, come, see, I'm a real person. I'm not a ghost. I'm not a figment of your imagination. I have flesh and bone. What's the difference? When the resurrection, you don't have blood anymore. Blood is for the earth.
Amen.
You have no more blood. You have the Holy Spirit running through you, the spirit of life, the life and the resurrection running through your body. And you have flesh and bones, just like Jesus was. That's how the resurrected ones appear. Now, Revelation 14 and 13, Revelation 14, when a righteous died, they said, blessed the dead for their rest of all their labor. So you, when the righteous die, they go to paradise in rest, in peace. That's where they go. Now, let's see something very important here. Can resurrected persons appear as angels today? Like Jesus did when he raised from the dead. John the Baptist, Moses, all the holy prophet Daniel, they are raised from the dead. They died before Christ. Mary, the mother of Jesus, did not die before her son. She did not get up in the resurrection. She's in paradise. She does not have a resurrected body yet because she died before Christ and she was not raised bodily. She ascended to paradise where the righteous dead go in the midst of heaven. Now, but all the prophets raised. John the Baptist got his head cut off. Is he dead again? No, he got his head put back on. Is his head up in right, John? I mean, he got his head back, a new body? Daniel, Hosea, Abraham, Moses. Now, Moses is not one of the two witnesses in the Revelation because Moses was resurrected from the dead because he died. And Moses was raised from the dead. He has a resurrected body, so he can't die no more. So he's not one of those two witnesses in Revelation. People said that's Enoch and Moses. No. There can't be Moses. Moses can't die no more. No, sorry, it can't be him. We'll tell you who is not either later on, who these two witnesses are not. Moses is raised, he's resurrected, just like Daniel and the rest of them, David, King David, Job, all of them. Now, here's the amazing thing I want to get to. In the Revelations, first Revelation 19, let's go to Revelation 19, verse 89. This is the surprise to most people. Who are these angels that are appearing to John on the Isle of Patmos? Who are these angels from chapter 4 all the way to the end of Revelation, from the 4th chapter to the 22nd? Angels unveiling, revealing, and visiting John the Beloved. They are speaking from the end, from the beginning of Revelation after Jesus, and all the way to the end of the world. In Revelation 19 and verse 89, these angels who are resurrected persons, let's see, how do we know this? Jesus rose from the dead. He broke the bands. Many bodies of the saints got up. They were the prophets. Those that heard the prophets, they are risen. In Revelation, we find this to be true, verified by more than at least four witnesses. Revelation 19, verse 89.
Revelation 19, verse 89 said, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that is that verse 10?
Okay, I'll go down a little bit further. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes as a flame of fire.
Now, here we go. We have to kind of cut short here because it talks about a lot of other things. But it talks about Jesus coming there, but it said when John the Revelator receiving all these visitations from the angels, one of these angels identifies himself, because these resurrected, glorified prophets and angels had such glorious appearance, just like Jesus. They had so much power that John the Beloved bowed. When he wanted to bow and worship, when this angels appeared to him, because the angels of God would never, never accept worship. Only demons and familiar spirits would accept worship. That's why all these nations are filled with deities, with demons wanting worship. But the angels of God would never accept worship. They only point to Christ. When this angel appeared to John, and he says, when John beloved fell down to worship this angel, what did the angel say? Don't worship me. Who did he say he was? He identified himself. I am what?
I am of thy brethren.
First thing he says, let's stop right there. I am of thy brethren. Yeah. Then the next thing he says what?
They have the testimony of Jesus, worship God.
What do you mean that he has the testimony of Jesus? There were angels from the beginning. They don't have the testimony of Jesus. They can't have the testimony of Jesus because they never died. They never suffered. The only people can have the testimony of Jesus is a human being that lived, died, and rose again and was redeemed. So that's a resurrected person. He's letting you know, I'm a resurrected being. I'm a resurrected person. I have the what? I have the testimony of Jesus. Hallelujah. He was one of the prophets who died and suffered and looked to the resurrection, and he was raised. Now let's prove it again. Revelation 22, verse 9. Revelation 22, verse 9.
Then say he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the
commandments
of
God. I'm sorry, start at verse 8.
And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then say he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God.
Now he said three important truths. Three important truths. He identifies who specifically who he is. And in this identification, he reveals and unveils that I was one of the prophets who lived, and one actually revealing when Jesus raised from the dead, I'm one of the prophets that was risen with Christ. I'm of that fellow brethren. Only the brethren can be redeemed and know about the blood. Angels cannot testify because they never know what salvation was. They never experienced salvation because they never fell. They're spirits. But only the people who lived in this life, flesh and blood creatures, who heard the message about redemption and resurrection and was raised to glory, they are the brethren of the faith of Jesus. They are the faith of Jesus. That means they once lived in this life and was raised from death. They are resurrected creatures. And his angel says, look, I'm of your brother, one of the prophets. Worship God, not me. And angels of God never take worship away from Jesus Christ, from God. Never. So thank God. We are authenticated who was part of it. For now, when Jesus comes back again, I want to read this last scripture right quick. Hopefully, when Jesus returns again, let's go to Revelation 19:18. And in Zechariah 12:12, when he put his foot on that mountain, Zechariah said, when Jesus come and touched, put his foot on that mountain. By the way, when he put his foot on this mountain, that is when Armageddon would be in full sway. And they were seeking to destroy Israel and the armies of the East and the West, and communism, Marxism, all those evil, they will be fighting against Israel and Armageddon, and the kings of China and perhaps many of the Mongolians will be coming against Israel. Now listen, when Jesus come back with all his saints. And the dead in Christ, as he come and blow, they're going to go up to meet him also in the air during this Armageddon, because the saints will be right here when Armageddon began. Hallelujah. They will not be taken away out. Forget that. No, sir. They're going to be with Jesus, caught up to meet him when he goes to Jerusalem and put his foot on Mount Olive and end that Armageddon war. They're going to be with him, the saints who were raised at his first resurrection. Hallelujah, all his army. They're going to fight against the evil Satan and his army on the earth. They're coming with Jesus to smite the Antichrist and his army. And it is so. We hope that you get some understanding. And the angels, the saints that the resurrected will be with him. Those that have died and will come back with him. They'll put an end to the Antichrist and fight. In the 19th chapter of Revelation, he comes with all his army, with two-edged swords going out of his mouth. And also, after that end, they will rule and reign over the nations with his bride. All right. We made a concise meaning about the first resurrection of Christ and his coming again a little bit. We didn't go into the depths of it, but we scourged over it, and we'll go expand it in many other ways. We expand it further on. All right. Is anybody on the line? If you have a question, if anyone want to be a part of being resurrected with Christ, of being in the family of God and the kingdom of God, to be ready when Jesus comes, day or hour when death comes. Be ready. Live ready. Stay ready. Walk ready. Lay down ready. Get up ready. All right. Anyone online?
No, not yet, brother.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right. We'll move on. So what do you want to add to that, brother?
Well, I would add to that, you know, brother, and you very much, you know, has put it down to the key about the resurrection and the importance of the resurrection. You know, all these other religions, you know, the thing they have in common is they want to discredit Christ on everything. You got people from Mary Baker Eddy that's saying that the resurrection was an illusion. Christ was an illusion. And you got some of them teaching there's a Christ and there's a Jesus, you know, and that's the common thing. If people want to look at what's one common thing that all these religions have in common, is that they all come together to discredit Christ.
Yeah, they're trying to discredit that Jesus is not the sinless Christ born of a virgin. This is the most important point where they start at. What is it trying to discredit about this Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Holy Messiah who died on the cross and for our sins? What are they first trying to do? They're saying that he's just an ordinary man, a good man, a prophet. He was not a sinless, born without sin, conceived by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. This is the first part, the virgin birth, that Mary was not a virgin, and a virgin can't have a child. Secondly, they say he was just only a prophet. No, Jesus was not a prophet. He was, the scripture said, he was the Son of God, Son of Man, the Redeemer, God in the flesh. The scripture does not, it implies that he was a prophet, but it never reveals. The angel Gabriel appeared that said the Son of God, called him the Son of God, the Son of the Most High. And he's the seed of David, of the tribe of Judah, Huda. He is the promised seed without sin, without a sinful nature, who died and rose again physically from the dead. Now, they're trying to say that Jesus did not physically get up bodily, did not conquer death. Well, they're afraid he did not conquer grave and the death. And so they're trying to discredit who Jesus Christ is. They're trying to make him just a prophet, because a prophet can't die for your sin. You know why? Because a prophet cannot die. None of the prophets could die for our sin. All the prophets were born under the curse of Adam, and they cannot die as the Lamb of God without sin, without spot, for the sins of the world. So if they make Jesus just a prophet, all the religion will say, oh, he's a good prophet, No. He's the Son of God, the deity, without sin. He's the Son of God. He's God in the flesh, the Word made flesh. Okay. And they must discredit him that he did not rise from the dead on the third day. Islam got to discredit that he didn't rise on the third day, by the way. All the other nations, Christian Science, whatever. Even the Jehovah's Witness has a lot of error in it about the resurrection. Even though they say they have little spots of truth, a lot of spots here, but they don't have the foundation of Christ. They are not founded on the gospel of Christ. Confucius, what do they say? What do Hindus say? Hindus have 680 gods, so it's kind of difficult for them. Then certain African tribes, all over the earth. But Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the life and the resurrection. Hallelujah. So all truth emanates from the Lord Jesus. If what John says, John's Gospel, chapter 17, all that's of the truth will come to know Jesus, John chapter 8, as the Lord of light and truth and salvation. If it does not declare Jesus be the light and the life and the resurrection and the hope of eternal salvation, if it does not identify that, it does not come from the living God. That does not come from the living God. Now, it didn't make no difference by them using Old Testament scriptures and talking about certain truths in the Old Testament that does not lead to Christ being a redeemer, as a savior, as a Lord, without the born of the Virgin Mary. If it doesn't lead to that, I don't care what Bible scripture they use in the Old Testament. That has no redeeming values. It is deception. Be sure, I don't care if they use the Bible or quote or say something in the Old Testament without understanding or blindness and to deny that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, risen from the dead. If they deny and reject that, it does not come from the living God. Make sure you know that. Hallelujah. All right. Well, brother, we're going to have time to pray since the brothers and sisters are not here today. Okay. Now, the Bible says because of the atonement of Christ, we are redeemed from the curse of the law, the curse of Adam. Could you tell Brad Breeze what the curse came into the earth because of Adam's sin? Because of sin, Adam fell. What was caused to come into the earth? The four things that came upon all mankind. Could you just briefly tell us the four things that came upon man? Was open.
Well, you had death, which consists of spiritual death and physical death, and then you had sickness, poverty. They were the other two, sickness. So yeah, sickness, death, and poverty. Those are the curse, sin nature.
So all the things, the negative things that we see occur when Adam rebelled against and partake of the tree of knowledge and evil, he calls what? Spiritual death, physical death, and eternal death if we don't repent, eternal death. Then sickness, plague, disease, afflictions, oppression, fear, curses in the earth, all this came when Adam disobeyed and rebelled, committed high treason against the Most High God, and opened and brought this in the earth. Now, the Bible says Christ came to redeem us, but he not only ultimately is going to redeem the earth also, make a new heaven and new earth. He came to redeem the earth. So he came to redeem us from all these curses that came because of Adam and because of the law of God. So we're going to curse cancer and spiritual blindness today. Okay. What we would like to curse today, brother, that we like to bind and curse. Christ has bought and paid and redeemed to those that believe on him, would accept him as the Lord and Savior, receive him by faith today. He will lift the curses from you of sin, being separate from God. He will lift you from being in darkness and separated and not having fellowship with the living God, from being spiritually dead. Ephesians chapter 2, we're dead, spiritually dead because of Adam. Ephesians chapter 2 and Romans 5 that we're cut off Our spirits are dead. We're cut off from the light of God, the life of God, and we're spiritually cut off. So you can now make a decision, a choice, and say, Lord Jesus, I recognize I'm cut off from sin with a sinful nature, and I today make a decision by faith to make Jesus Lord of my life and my salvation. Come live in me. Make me alive unto God, born again, set free, and delivered. And delivered. Make me a new person. Put me in the family of God in Jesus' name. And from that you go be baptized in Jesus' name in the kingdom of God and ask for the filling of the Holy Ghost. Okay. So today we're going to ask that you would bring to pass the most important aspects of people making the choice today become a part of the kingdom of God in Christ. And that we're going to curse one of the curses that plagued the earth called cancer, blood disease, leukemia. Would you like to start off cursing that plague called cancer?
Amen. By the authority given us of Jesus Christ,
yes, Lord Jesus.
When our Lord declared that he has given us authority, power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and that he had given his disciple authority,
yes,
over sicknesses,
yes,
and diseases. By the authority, Lord, that you have given us after,
yes,
the order of the Son of God, we come this day to curse cancer. Cancer,
yes,
in the brain, cancer in the stomach, cancer in,
yes,
the throat. We,
yes,
come,
Lord,
this day to curse it in the name,
yes,
of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
We come this day to declare your light against darkness in,
yes,
the name,
yes,
of Jesus, to release,
thank
the
you,
will of God through the word of healing to the ears that is open to receive. We curse right now cancer, bone cancer, right now, in the leg,
curse,
right now in the name of Ashi.
Glory. Glory.
We glory.
Glory.
We glory. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Glory to God.
We curse,
glory,
bone cancer right now.
Curse
we
it,
curse
man,
your spreading through the body.
Yes.
In,
yes,
the
Lord,
name,
Jesus,
of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We release the will of God against you,
yes,
cancer, in Jesus',
yes,
name. For by,
yes,
the stripes of Jesus, that soul was healed.
Yes.
We curse cancer,
yes,
in the eyes.
We curse it.
In the name,
yes,
of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
We command and speak the word of God,
yes,
over the retina in the eye, and we say, be healed.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We call on the hand of the Lord.
Glory,
dear
to
God,
Jesus,
that you will lay your hand,
yes,
upon that eye and restore.
Lay your hand upon the eyes of the blind.
Like you did the man with the withered hand. Restore,
yes,
it,
Jesus,
like you did the blind man that came to you. Restore it, Lord God.
Restore their sight.
Under the power of your spirit. We
to
curse the cancer.
Jesus.
We curse the tumors right now.
Tumors.
In the name of Jesus.
Leave
in the
body.
Stomach. Kibo hasha.
No.
We command you now to
leave.
We command every demon spirit that's behind it to go.
Leave. We take authority over you in Christ.
Your spirit of infirmity. We see you.
In Jesus' name. Go.
And we command you to go.
Yes, Lord.
In the
Jesus.
Name of Jesus. Turn loose of that stomach. Turn loose of that
thank
intestine
you, Lord,
right now in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Lord, call to the come
yes,
out.
Lord.
Fill
come
that
out.
Stomach with the anointing that their sickness
yes.
will have to go because it cannot
yes,
stand in the presence of the power of the anointing
thank
of the
you,
Holy
Jesus.
Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Right now.
Thank
hallelujah.
You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank
shut
you.
Up. Glory
shut
to God.
Up. Glory to
hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, yes. yes, Lord Jesus.
Ye glory.
Let the cripple,
hallelujah.
The lame walk. Let the
thank
cripple
you,
man and woman arise and walk. in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Rise
in Jesus' name.
And have wholeness in Jesus' name. Come again,
yes,
rejoicing in the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Glory. Let them arise and be whole. Lord, we ask for a miracle for those that are hungry and starving, are looking for an answer. Give them a supernatural opening and a miracle for their special need, we decree. Who supplies all their needs according to riches and glory. For you hear the cry of the faint and the hungry. And so hear, Lord Jesus. We ask you for the revival in Africa to just spread to all over Southeast Africa for Jesus. Spring up, O Lord, with healing and deliverance and an awakening mightily in all of the African, in Turkey, in Japan, in Russia. Let the anointing be as the days of Moses when the cloud of glory be upon them with great victory. We bind every demon, devil of oppression over the minds of people and fear and oppression. We bind that strong man over the mind. Fear, worry, oppression, idolatry. We curse that spirit of fear and break it and drive it out.
Right now.
The curse of idolatry, witchcraft, the curse of horoscope, astrology, be canceled. Strange God, divination. Let that curse be broken over their lives. In Jesus' name.
Let
the blood of Jesus prevail. Let the anointing flow upon their deliverance. Let their back condition that may walk again for the glory of God. Be whole and be healed. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for you're the same yesterday, faithful and true. Faithful and true. Faithful and true. Faithful and true. Now, those that are about to make a decision for salvation in Christ, who died and rose again and shed his blood, and said, all come to him in faith. Lord Jesus, let them now say, Jesus Christ, I make you Lord and my Savior. I turn from my sins. I trust you and my Redeemer. Deliver me. I trust you with my life and my soul today. I commit my way, my trust to you. Live your life in me. Transform me and deliver me. Make me the part of the family of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. And Lord, help them to find a church that teaches the full gospel, be baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost for the glory of God. And I will say we love you wherever you may be. We're praying for you and love you. Now the trumpets sound, the sixth trumpet. Elijah must first come. The messenger of the Lord has come with a wake-up call. We love you with the love of God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for another blessed broadcast. Don't forget tomorrow night, another Heart to Heart. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. tomorrow night. So we thank God
Amen.
For all you listening. As for Brother Lee, this is Brother Nate. We love you. God bless you. God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless, brother.
Amen.